This time on Holy Ghost Notes.
Merry Christmas, you filthy animal.
Christmas. Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
Christmas Day.
Christmas.
Christmas.
Christmas Day.
Merry Christmas.
Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
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 Merry Christmas.
Christmas.
Christmas. Christmas.
Hey, hey, ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas.
Oh, I was hoping for something along those lines. Tim.
This is Tim and Matt, and you're listening to the Holy Ghost Notes podcast.
Yes, you certainly are, and you already know that. And if you didn't know that, now you do.
That's right, yeah. That was one for the record books, that's for sure.
What's the significance of this episode?
So this is episode 19, which is significant because it's the last full episode in 2019. So that's pretty cool. We've done 19 as of today. We've done 19 full episodes, not including the minisodes.
We've done 19 episodes in 11 months. Ben Shapiro's done 19 episodes in 19 days.
It's not like a huge accomplishment, but I still feel pretty accomplished.
Totally. This is...
I feel like we did something pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. And then the 20th episode will be the first episode of 2020. Is that correct?
That's right. Yep.
That's cool.
That's right. That's right. So we're going to keep this episode pretty lighthearted. I know most of you are probably either driving to family or you're
flying,
perhaps,
sleeping,
maybe
eating,
avoiding family in the other room or something.
At the bar.
Or it's not even Christmas Day and you're just listening to this after the fact. But either way, thank you for listening and Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
But we're gonna keep it fun and lighthearted. It's gonna be
be fun and lighthearted. Yeah. So
that's right.
I just got done with a pretty crazy week. We just had our first annual Christmas Burns Red. Mm. It was
amazing.
A lot of fun, dude.
I wish I could have been there.
Yeah, yeah. It was so much fun. I mean, it was a lot of work leading up to it, but this has been a long time in the making. We've been doing an annual Christmas show every year since 2007, I think.
Okay.
And it's usually at the Chameleon Club in Lancaster.
Right. Yeah.
Which, have you been there before?
I've been there a couple times. Yeah.
So you know it's small and hot.
Yeah, it's super small, right? Yeah.
But it's cool. It's like it's more of an intimate environment. So we just didn't have the option of doing it there anymore because our ticket sales for this were like literally four times the capacity of the Chameleon Club.
Yeah.
And none of us wanted to like do four back-to-back shows at the Chameleon Club.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
So we booked out the convention center. It's called Freedom Hall. It's at the Marriott in downtown Lancaster. If you've ever been to Lancaster, it is the tallest building in town. So we've played there before. We did the 15-year anniversary show there.
Okay.
And for this show, it was business as usual. I mean, we played the Constellations record from start to finish for the last time. So like... Wow. Okay. That tour, as we've talked about before, has taken us to Australia, all of North America, including Hawaii, and Europe. And this is the last time we will ever play that record from start to finish, unless we make it to 20 years, maybe.
Yeah. I wouldn't put it past you guys.
Hopefully people don't like Constellations as much then, because I don't want to play that fast for 45 minutes at 40 years old. But... it was so much fun. Like, our guest list was over 100 people.
Wow.
Which is not typical. I mean, usually we can only accommodate, what, like 20? And
sure,
because it was at a big venue, we were able to basically have a wide open guest list. So, like, my mom was there. All of my siblings, Jesse, wow. Micah, Joanna, Anya, Serena, and Caleb, and their spouses were there. And that's
so you
that's,
took up the whole 100 just yourself, basically.
I took up the entire 100 myself. Every last name on the list was either Griner or the married name in the case of my sisters. So, a highlight for me was I love the movie Home Alone, right? Home Alone 1, Home Alone 2. I haven't watched it yet this season. I cannot wait to. I'm going over to JB's house after this. JB, the guitarist in my band, has a Home Alone party every year. And I won't be able to stay to watch Home Alone because of a church service, but it's like Home Alone themed. It's great.
Nice.
Like, that's Merry cool. Christmas, you filthy animal. I'm going to give you a new count of 10. The whole thing. So anyway, I love that movie. I love the soundtrack. It's so sick. And so I took the main theme song, a minute and a half of the main theme song, and this last week I wrote a drum solo section to that and didn't really tell anybody, including the band, until like the last rehearsal that I wanted to do it. And just kind of like told them that it was going to work and don't worry. And... and I just did it. I mean, literally, it was the most like fly-by-night thing I've ever done in front of 3,000 people. But it was like my highlight of the show because, for one reason, because my sister Joanna is the biggest fan of Home Alone. She loves, she loves the soundtrack, and I didn't tell her about it. And you know, lights go out, Constellation sets over, lights go out. You know, encore, one more song, and you know, front of house guy, Chris. Starts that song, you hear the opening tune, and I come out and play some drums over it. And
that's awesome.
It was cool. Like at that point in the show, it shifts into like, okay, the metal part of the show's kind of over, the serious tone is over. Now let's switch into some Christmas songs. So we did that. Sure. We did Carol the Bells, and Frosty, and some other Christmas stuff. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was so much fun.
That's really cool. Yeah, man, the Home Alone soundtrack is fire. That's John Williams, right?
John Williams.
Yeah.
Jeez. He is the man, dude. He is, like, it was kind of a nightmare building a click track for it because it's orchestral.
Right.
So my friend Sean Hennessy played guitar in This of the Apocalypse, and he's a pretty musical guy, has a band called Bells, and I just said it to him. I'm like, can you figure this out for me? Because the tempos are all over the place. Yeah. And he's like, okay, I'll try. And he did an awesome job. Like the day before the show. So,
oh, wow. Okay.
John Williams is, the stuff he writes is so cool.
That's incredible. Yeah. He is way beyond me, that's for sure, musically.
And financially.
Anybody
and,
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. So, I guess this is a good opportunity to jump into how is it different, in your opinion, playing drums or metal, for instance, on a Christmas song rather than like a normal regular
metal
song.
Yeah. I mean, besides there not being screaming on top of it.
Aside from that.
Well, my approach to it is different, you know, like when you do, like you did a cover of, did you cover Reliant K or something like that?
Foo Fighters.
You were playing on Foo Fighters.
I did a Foo Fighters cover,
song.
Yeah.
So like when you're playing on something like that, Taylor Hawkins' drum parts are probably different than something you would write. So it kind of stretches you.
Right.
But musically, it calls for something different on drums. Same thing with Christmas songs. Now on our Christmas record, JB and I worked together to write songs that were metal. I mean, so there's still blast beats and double bass. On the Home Alone thing, I approached it more like an Aaron Spears type track where I'm not going bonkers the whole time. I'm just trying to be musical and hold down a groove and let people enjoy the music instead of just being like pummeled by double bass. So I would say that's my approach in general to something like that. I think it'd be similar to like if you were to play for your church, your mindset's different than if you were to play for your band on a Friday night in a bar. You know, it's just you're thinking more in terms of the entire band and the music, and you're not thinking of it in terms of like rocking out and going nuts.
Right. Yeah.
And when you start to play a Christmas song, the whole tone of the room changes. It's like everyone puts a smile on, the cameras go up. It's like this big experience. And that's kind of what we wanted to do with Christmas Burns Red, is like make this an event, a weekend long event where we do a warm up show Friday night, JB DJs, we have some friends bands play. People flew in from Washington State, California, Toronto, just to like spend the weekend in Lancaster and celebrate Christmas.
Right.
And people were in Santa hats. There was a lady wearing, a good friend of ours actually, she was wearing a Grinch like onesie, you know. Had to have been so super hot. I don't actually think she wore it for the show, but she shows up to the meet and greet in this Grinch outfit. So just, it's just fun. Like Christmas is fun. Super fun and exciting and just a happy time of year.
Awesome.
Now, of
That's
course, really cool. there's it's tough for a lot of people, and I'll be the first to admit it's kind of tough for me at times, just because there's so many memories attached to it. And if you had loved ones in the past that you celebrated it with, then when it comes back around, it's like it's this big void, you know. You just it hits you in the face, and so I feel for people who really struggle this time of year, and I can empathize with that as well. If you're listening to this and that's you, it's like, you know, try to surround yourself with some people who you know could pick you up and maybe distract you from like some of the tough times and help you celebrate it. Put a new light on it, because it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of good music. There's a cool lights. Time of giving away to other people, and you know, the goal is to put a smile on someone else's face. That's sort of the way I've always looked at it.
No, that's really true. I was at the supermarket the other night, and my cashier and I got into a conversation. She was mentioning that her mother just died suddenly, like a month ago, and wasn't expected. And my heart just went out for her. I sat there probably for 10 minutes and just listened to her story, and she was just talking about how she's basically just trying to get through the holidays. And I was like, listen, I know that I don't know how you're feeling. I obviously can't relate in a way that is going to make you feel better. But what I would say is do your best to enjoy the holiday, you know, make this a time that's peaceful. I know it's tough and you're going through a lot, but, I just told her, I hope that you can, you know, find some peace and some joy during this time, and that it can distract you a little bit from what's happened, rather than just add to the sadness, you know. There's really, I mean, there's nothing you can say. I remember the first Christmas after my uncle died. I mean, and that's not even my mother, or, you know. And that was tough. You know, it was just, it was different. It was awkward. And every single holiday after that, you know, it's tough when you lose somebody. But yeah, it's cool that you guys are doing something that can kind of add to the fun of this time of year. And is this something that you're going to be doing annually?
We started this as a business, and it'll be an annual event that happens every year.
That's really cool. If there's one thing I know about like Christmas, is that tradition is huge for people, and especially introducing new traditions. You know, I know there's probably a lot of ABR fans who are starting new families. This is, you know, at least the age bracket of people that probably typically listen to August Burns Red and to metal are probably in the age of starting new families, or, you know, having young kids.
100%.
So now's the time to start introducing new traditions. So why not Christmas Burns Red?
Dude.
A nice big trip to Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and the show. And
I couldn't agree more.
Christmas season.
And tradition, like what you just said, is what my mom did such a good job of growing up. And I don't know how you handle this, but in my house, my mom was just so good at creating these traditions. And they were a lot of times they were small, you know, small traditions, but it sort of sticks with you. And
yeah,
like you said, a lot of traditions are attached to this time of year. We just saw an opportunity to create a festival that happens every year. People know it's coming, and the details don't really matter. They just know there's going to be a festival, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So that's our main goal, you know.
That's great. Yeah, that's awesome. So what are some traditions that you grew up with?
Yeah, so like they don't sound like traditions on the surface, but one is we would volunteer at hospice. My mom was huge into volunteering, and I think looking back, she knew that it was important to show us that you don't do everything in life so that you get something in return. the most valuable, you know, lesson I learned as a kid was help people without any expectation of getting any help or any sort of favor back.
Right.
You just give freely. And so volunteering at a young age, you don't really think about that. It's just like, oh yeah, I'm going to go help at this event, or I'm going to volunteer at the library. And so every year we would go volunteer somewhere, or we would go sing in like a retirement home, you know, for Christmas.
Yeah.
Or we would go take a meal to somebody. And it didn't seem like that big of a deal. In fact, I thought everybody did that. And then I grew up and realized that my mom just made this intentional decision to say, we're going to put a date to this, and no matter how busy we are, we're going to make it a constant. And it just became a tradition. Another tradition is when I have seven siblings, so there's a lot of birthdays, and they're all married, so there's even more birthdays now. And whenever someone has a birthday, we get together. And kids, yes, we're exploding. The Griner family is exploding. Whenever there's a birthday, we get together, and if the person doesn't object to it, which in some cases they do, and I completely understand not wanting to be the center of attention, we go around the table, and we just say something about that person. Sometimes we limit it to a word. In other cases, it's like, you know, hey, Tim, you're a great friend. You are always there. Something that you're really good at is looking out for other people and, you know, making yourself available. You always pick up the phone. And we just go around the table and everyone says something about them. And
that's cool.
It's been awesome. Like it can be a little bit uncomfortable because if you're like me, you don't like being told what you're good at or what's like respectable about you, because you just sort of sit there and go, ugh, if you only knew or whatever. But it is really encouraging, and it's important to have that strong support system, and my mom somehow saw that as well. So those are the sort of traditions that she somehow established early enough on that we didn't really see them as traditions. We just saw them as normal.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool. So did you do like the volunteering stuff on Christmas Day, or is it just like around the Christmas time?
There were times when we volunteered on Christmas Day.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah, there were times we did it. Other times it was like the week of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think my mom saw, I think growing up, my mom saw from an early age that there were a lot of people who are alone and don't have other people in their lives. And so this time of year is tough on that, you know, type of environment, or just like the idea of not having friends or family or community around you. And so she looked at a retirement home and said, well, what better place to go around and just take my kids and have them dress up and go in and sing some, you know, some carols. And it was a lot of fun. I mean, the retirement home loved it. And so now it's like something I'm seeing my siblings do with their kids.
Yeah, that's really cool. That's great. That's definitely something I want to do with my family as we grow.
Yeah.
I can't say that we ever did like volunteering on Christmas Day. My parents were definitely charitable people, people that, you know, taught us that it's important to volunteer your time, and that's, that is, you know, it is really valuable, and I think what we kind of developed over time on Christmas is, rather than buying tons of gifts or expensive gifts, we ended up, you know, putting that money towards a charity, or you know, buying gifts for people who need it. That's one thing that my wife and I really love doing is our church always, there's a, you know, a local community of people who don't have a lot of money, and whose children don't often get Christmas gifts because of that.
Right.
And so we always like to more or less sponsor a few of those kids anonymously and just buy them a bunch of Christmas gifts each year. So that's kind of a tradition that we've established. Even before we were married, we kind of got to pooled our money together and bought gifts for these kids.
That's
something
awesome.
We like to do every year. But it's so important, because, you know, when you look at how fortunate we really are, to have family, to have friends, to have a house, a warm house and a warm meal, and presents from our friends and family. You know, I mean, it's really, you take for granted sometimes the fact that other people don't necessarily have that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can do something that really doesn't cost you a whole lot, you know, maybe you just lose out on a few presents or you don't buy that extra big gift this year, and you can bless someone else and really make their Christmas special. I mean, that's way more important, in my opinion, than having the greatest Christmas ever. And, you know, I mean, technically it becomes the greatest Christmas ever because you realize that.
Right.
You know, there's other people that are being blessed by this.
And, right.
Yeah, so if you're listening, you know, I'm not trying to pull a guilt trip on you or anything, but I would encourage you to try to find a way to make a difference in your community, whether locally or what have you. You know, skip out on a couple of those presents that you want and give it to somebody else who needs it or, you know, who it'll actually benefit.
And this is a good time.
A difference.
This is a good time too to put into practice what we just talked about in the last episode. Mm-hmm. Of like, if you're going to do this stuff, it might be difficult to do, but try to do it in private. Try to look at it and see how can I do this in such a way that it is anonymous. Mm-hmm. And the beauty of that is like. Okay, so when I hear a story, like we talked about last week, if you haven't listened to last week's episode, go listen to it. It's a lot. It's a powerful story, not because we told it, but because someone actually lived it. And this guy's name is Keith. And Keith, mm-hmm. Keith did something anonymously, which we're not mentioning his last name, so we don't steal that from him. But but he did something anonymous that when I heard the story and sort of figured it out and connected the dots, it made me tear up. And and I thought about it afterwards. Why was that such a powerful story? Well, it's because no one knew. It's because this guy's doing something that is significant in someone else's life at his own expense. Keith was having to give. Someone had to pay for this sort of relationship where there's always output and there's never input, where he's always giving and he's never getting back. And at the same time, he's going through his own, you know, hell in such a way. And so...
Right.
To know that, like, I would have never heard about this if I wasn't told firsthand by the recipient of his generosity. When you hear a story like that, where someone is sacrificing themselves for the sake of someone else, and they're certainly not doing it for their own gain or popularity or recognition because they didn't tell you about it, that does something to you. And I think it's so powerful because it points to the cross. I think every powerful, amazing, sad, and significant story ever told in the end points to the idea of someone laying down their life for the sake of someone else. And, you know, that was what we talked about last week. And that is the opportunity that we're given every day, really. But it's really what we can be reminded of this time of year. When I think about Christmas, I think about slowing down and sort of, you know, recalculating where you're at in your life. How did you do this year? You know, evaluate where you are and where you want to be. And don't focus too much on the past and where you've messed up and where you've fallen short, because we're all in that position where we wish we would have done better. But you have the opportunity to stop and slow down and say, okay, it's nearing the end of the year. This is a really beautiful, fun, festive, hopefully family-centered time of the year. And I have the opportunity right now to sit down and say, what is actually important to me? And I think that's sort of a gift. This last week, as I said, it was extremely busy. And the reason it was busy is because it's a hometown show here in Lancaster. I have a lot of family. I have a lot of friends who want to come out and support and just have a fun night. And the night before our show, we had this warm-up party. And my friend's band was playing. They're called Albert React. They haven't played in years. They took us out on our first tour in 2004. We had never toured before outside of Pennsylvania, Maryland, Delaware, the tri-state. And Albert React took us out. They were signed, and we were thought they were the biggest band in the world. They took us on like a 2-week tour, and so we asked them to play this show. You know, it'd be a lot of fun. So they played this kickoff show at the Chameleon, and I walked in. I was excited to see them. I walked in, and of course, a lot of people were at the show in preparation or just in the area for the Christmas Burns Red show the next night. Mm-hmm. And so I walked in and started talking to someone, started talking to a gentleman, and I started talking to his friend and then his girlfriend and then their son and then, oh, that guy's dad, and then someone else. And it was about an hour and 15 minutes later until I wasn't talking to anyone anymore. And by that time, Albert React had finished. And in my head, while I was talking to the first couple people, I'm thinking, oh, man, I can't wait to see Albert React. I can't wait to see Albert React. And I'm not really in the conversation. I'm not really listening. I'm not doing a great job of, like, being there in the present, being a genuine, mm-hmm. you know, friend or just, you know, person in this conversation. It was very one-sided. And as the conversations went on, I realized, what the heck am I doing? Like, what actually matters here? Me being able to see a couple songs or me talking to this guy who flew in from Washington State or this girl who came here from Michigan? Like, all these people have a life, have a job, have a family. And they're here because they're excited about the fact that my band is playing and they want to talk about whatever they want to talk about, life, music, you know, yeah. family, faith. And I'm missing everything if I don't include it, if I don't invest myself in this conversation. And it took a little bit of, like, discipline to figure out that that's what I was doing wrong. And then once I, like, snapped out of this, I need to see Albert React thing, where I was just trying to push for the next thing that I wanted to see, I settled into the conversation, and it was, like, one of the most fun nights I've had this whole year. And
that's cool.
So I was thinking about it. Like, you mentioned the grocery store, right? You stopped and talked to the lady at the register, you said, for, like, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So, like,
yeah.
you probably had somewhere to go afterwards. Your phone was yeah. probably buzzing in your pants, right? Like, you were getting text yeah. messages or, you know, a phone call saying, hey, you know, I need you home or I need you here. And those things are important, like, crucial. But someone's always vying for your attention, or something is always grabbing to get you to the next thing or location. And mm-hmm. how often is your attention given in an undivided way to the person with whom you're having a conversation with? I heard it put this way this last week from my pastor. He said, if you're having a conversation with someone and they're talking to you and you're thinking about what your response is going to be while they're talking, you're not listening. If you're yeah. figuring out, okay, how am I going to respond to this as they're forming their thought or their sentence, you're not listening to what they're saying. You should be a clean slate. You should just be listening, standing there, completely invested in the conversation. And it's freaking hard to do. Like I said, yes. with your cell phone going off, and, like, I have a hard time with this. And so at this Christmas event, you know, at the kickoff party, it was so much fun once I figured out, okay, stop trying to get to the next thing. Like, this is the next thing. This is all that matters right now. This conversation, and yeah, right. the kid after that, and the guy after that, and his daughter after that. And once you actually started to listen to people, then you drove home that night thinking, man, I can't believe that guy. That guy's got a pretty crazy story. That girl, that her job is awesome. It's cool that she could take that time off and come here. Man, that guy's been to, like, 33 of our shows. Tomorrow's his 34th. I would have never remembered any of that. It would have meant nothing to me yeah. if I hadn't right. actually been present in the conversation. C.S. Lewis has a quote. I had to look it up, so I got it right. He says, if you see through everything, then everything is transparent. But a wholly transparent world is an invisible world. To see through all things is the same as not to see. What are you seeing through to get to the thing you think you need to see on the other side? If you're looking through a window outside at your backyard and you're saying, no, I don't want to see the backyard, I want to see what's beyond the backyard, then you're going to say that for every subsequent thing you decide you shouldn't see.
Right.
It's like, okay, yep. if you see through one thing because it doesn't matter, then you're going to be saying that for every subsequent thing in your life. People matter. Mm-hmm. Relationships matter. Conversations matter. Try to be flexible. I'm preaching to myself here. Try to be flexible and open-minded when you're having these conversations with people, when you run into them in the grocery market, when you're sitting there at the dinner table on, you know, Christmas Day and you just want to watch the football game. Like, I realize there's always something else you could be doing. But at the end of the day, if you don't make yourself available and if you don't invest yourself in a relationship with someone else, then you're going to be disappointed at the end of the day with whatever you skipped over that conversation to get to. Because whatever right. you're working to get to in the end is probably not as important as where you're at right now. Mm-hmm. And it's just like this week of learning that lesson. Like I don't know that I've thought about it in such depth up until this week, but being such a busy week, I think it teaches you, okay, what is actually going to matter about this week? Because there's a million things that need to get done.
Right.
And what at the end of the day is actually going to make a difference here. For me, that Friday night, going through and just talking to as many people as I could, driving home, thinking about those conversations that I had, that was so much fun, dude. And I didn't get to see Albert react, and I was kind of bummed, but I talked to him afterwards, and they're like, yeah, the show kind of sucked. It's all right. I'm like, all right, cool.
So basically what you're saying is during this time of year, make sure that you're Christmas present. See what I did there?
I love that. Dude.
No. Just kidding.
You're Caleb Kilmer version 2.
The beta version, baby. we had a conversation about this in one of the episodes. I can't even remember. I can't remember any of our episodes anymore. But one of the episodes, we talked about how like we could go through life always wanting to like look forward to something. But every time we get to that thing that we were looking forward to, there's something else that we're looking forward to. And we can never actually fully be present and fully enjoy the thing that is the now, you know? And the Bible talks a lot about, you know, you can plan for your future, but to live in the moment and to be present, you know? Mm. And I think that's a huge, like, people that can approach life like that are a lot more fulfilled in the long run because they're actually taking something out of the experiences that they're having. They're learning and they're enjoying life and, you know.
Okay, what you just said is a perfect summary of what I was communicating for about 7 minutes. So that's just fast forward what you won't actually get to this point until you've listened to my conversation.
Right.
But anyway.
Just be Christmas present. That's what we're talking about.
There you
go. But this actually just reminded me of another tradition that my parents had, which I didn't even realize this until just now, which is amazing. But my parents, when we opened presents, we didn't ever have a ton of presents, but it took forever to open presents because every single person opened a present and no one else was opening presents at that time. We all were engaged in what was happening with each person. Every present was open. We all watched. We're all like, ooh,
we did the same thing.
Whatever. And I always wondered why we did that because it took so long and like it took hours to open presents on Christmas morning and you know since then I've you know been at my in-laws Christmas morning and you know and they just kind of it's like okay here's your presents everyone kind of opens you know but there's something to be said about and this isn't I'm not calling anyone out that doesn't do it this way. I'm just saying it's valuable to me now that I'm realizing this because like opening presents even there was value to it. You know, we were engaged in each other and we were present in the moment and experiencing each other's surprise and joy and, you know, reactions to the presents. Like that was valuable.
That's where the
and
magic
I just realized
happens.
That just now.
Yep.
You know? Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I think if there's anything that can sum up what we've been talking about for the last 20 minutes is, you know, to be present during this time. Present during Christmas.
I love that. Even. What is your what one word would you use to describe 2019? I'm putting you on the spot. And if you want to ask me that, I'll go ahead and answer it first. I haven't really thought about it either, but one word.
One word. It can't even be a phrase.
I'll give you two.
Two words?
I'll give you two.
Three words?
I'll give you two with a dash. You can have a dash if you want one.
I think I can sum it up in one word. Okay. That one word would probably be experience.
Why?
The reason being that a lot of new things happened in 2019. It was a really hard year for me, but also a really great year. Hard year that I had to learn about myself a little bit and deal through some struggles relationally. I had to learn a lot about being a dad. I took on a new job, which was very challenging for me. Mm-hmm. And we started this podcast, which was a completely brand new adventure. So I'd say like I gained a ton of experience this year.
So I like that.
I could use that in both ways. I gained experience and it was also an experience. Experience.
I love that. That's cool. Mine.
What about you?
Mine would be authenticity. Authenticity, because number one, when I see other people who don't believe what I do, who don't live their lives like I do, they still believe in something. They're waging their life on something. They still live according to some sense of purpose or meaning or moral value in their life. And I see that. And if they're living consistently or authentically according to that standard, then I respect them just as much or more than someone who, you know, maybe goes to my church and has the same exact belief system as I do. I really, this year has taught me that everyone around me is, most people in my life are doing the best job they can. Most people in my life, regardless of if they believe in God or don't, regardless of what their family life is like, where they're from, you know, their age. they are doing the best job they can with the cards that they're dealt. And everybody's life looks different. And I realized this year that I have a lot to learn from the people around me who differ from me in a variety of different ways. So that's number one. Number two is just I've learned how to be relaxed and transparent in who I am. And who God's making and what God's making me into. I think a lot of that is because it was a pretty difficult year in 17 and then also 18. I grieve the loss of something important in my life, and I work through things that I never had to work through before. And I had a little bit of help and, learned a few things the hard way and I think I'm coming to a place where I'm comfortable being open and honest, not only with myself, but in a public way as well, what my life looks like in my house behind closed doors is exactly what it looks like out in the world and vice versa. And I don't know that's cool. I ever really had that before. I always felt like there were two planets. The one planet I was living on was the band, and the other planet I was living on was like home, you know, with my family and the farm.
Yeah.
And I think this year I felt very comfortable bridging the gap between them, saying I actually love quite a few things and I love them all pretty equally. Some things a little bit more than others, but they're all important to me. And here they are. And they don't really look like anything maybe you've seen before, farmer, metal drummer. It's been that kind of year. I don't want to say it's been a pretty good year. I don't want to say it's been a pretty bad year. It's been a year of definitely experience, like you said as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude, that's a really good point. I mean, how much pressure is taken off when you can just be yourself across the board? And you don't have to be one thing to one person and something else to someone else. You know,
sheesh, what a good
it's
point.
It's got to be like, man, how much stress would you alleviate just by making it as simple as that? I mean, obviously, yeah.
It's like, what you just said is amazing because it reminds me in a comical way of Mrs. Doubtfire. where he forgets, you know, oftentimes what character he's supposed to be playing.
Yeah.
And he goes into the men's bathroom dressed as Mrs. Doubtfire. You remember that
exactly.
scene? How stressful is that? It's like, wait, I'm supposed to be a female, you know, 60-year-old, you know, maid.
Yeah. Dude, that's such a good point, and it's a really, really good analogy for it, too. I mean, I think we can all relate to that, because even as Christians, not even like, you know, for you, a lot of people are like, well, you know, you've got this, you got the rock star side, and you've got your home, you know, life, family, farm side. But I think for all of us, you know, we've got our Christian face, our church face, our Sunday morning face, mm-hmm. and we've got our real life face, mm-hmm. you know, and how often do we like just drop that barrier and be like, all right, like Caleb put it really well when he was quoting Kanye and just said, like, oh man, I'm a Christian, everything. Like, like how true, like, why can't we just be that about every, like, I'm just a Tim everything. I'm just a,
yeah, I like that.
You know, like, I'm just a Matt everything. Like, why, like, as soon as we drop that barrier, then all of a sudden we can just be ourselves and we can be transparent. Like, I'm sure we all have that dark secret, you know, the skeletons in our closet, so to mm-hmm. speak. But like, if we can just drop that like shell, mm-hmm. that armor, and just, you know, it's scary to be vulnerable, I guess, but yeah. it's, you know, at the same time rewarding, I think
100%. I mean, that's, I think you do a good job of that. I think the reason I could say that about you is because you're, I think the reason I say that about you is because you are oftentimes, we oftentimes disagree about something, and that when you see that in someone, it shows that they're willing to stand up for what they believe in, regardless of if it is in agreement with you. And the other, so that's A. B would be that you're cynical and skeptical and critical of things that haven't been tested. And I think that's something that is very valuable as it pertains to Christianity in particular, because there are a lot of things we've come to realize this year through this podcast that maybe actually aren't biblical or aren't what Jesus would stand for. You know, would Jesus stand for this? Like, would he really stand for this? Would he be okay with this? And I've enjoyed on this podcast talking about those things because we need to talk about them. We need to interrogate them as if they are someone in a courtroom, you know, that should be prosecuted and guilty until proven innocent in a sense. And so I think that's why I can say that about you is, you know, you don't always look like the Sunday morning dude where everything's perfect and pretty, and because you're willing to like put yourself out there in a way, it's like, actually, I'm not really sure about this, or actually, I'm doing a pretty poor job of of executing this biblical truth or principle.
Yeah, we've basically just had 19 episodes of figuring out how I suck at life. Oh, I'm not very good at that, am I?
Sounds like
right.
church.
I didn't really know a whole lot about that. Yeah, but it's true. I mean, even at the end of the day, if we're coming out like without the completely accurate, correct answer for all of these questions and all of these, you know, theories, at least we're talking about it. You know, at least we're bringing it up, but I appreciate that, man. That's very nice of you to say.
Of course, yeah.
I see you in the same way, and I think that's partly why this works and has worked, because we do have differing opinions on things, and I think that's what's beautiful about life and about people, is that as we're meeting people, instead of, you know, having conversations where we're guarded and we need to be right and we need our opinion to be heard, we should be coming at them from a standpoint of, we can learn something from this person and we can see a new perspective and maybe grow and change and adapt and develop and countless other words. But, you know, the fact that we can have these conversations and be vocal and honest about what we're thinking about and how we feel is something that everyone needs. So find yourself a person that you can have a conversation with like this. I mean, this has benefited me more than I can say, mm-hmm. you know? And if that's the only thing that's come out of this podcast this entire year, I'll take it.
Yeah,
and it was worth
me
it
too.
100%.
Well, yeah, 100%. I mean, I realize that we think we're doing a pretty good job of gaining popularity with this podcast, but I'm looking at the numbers now. Looks like we have, looks like our total subs, we're at like 7. No, we just lost one. We're at 6. We're at 6.
It is six
subscribers.
6 followers,
so.
Yeah.
Oh, hi, Mom.
That's right. cross off our moms.
No, seriously, it's been a blast, and it's been a really fun year, and it's exciting yeah. to know that people from all over the world are a part of this. Like Tim says all mm-hmm. the time, you are a part of this community. We really cherish the relationships that we've formed. And we'll continue to grow in the coming years as we continue with this podcast. And, right. you know, we're just here to say Merry Christmas, and we just really love you guys. We really appreciate you.
Yeah.
We obviously cannot be here and available for everyone, but we want to be as available as possible, this being our part-time, full-time hobby.
Yeah.
Passion.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. This has been a joy to us. It's definitely something that we love doing. We did not go into this hoping for it to be profitable in any way, and so that's not an expectation at all. I've really valued the conversations and the friendships that have been made with you all, and the conversations that we've had on this podcast. It's been, you know, priceless. I can't put a
yeah,
price tag
that's
on it because it's
a good way to put it. It's amazing yeah. what drumming has done for me, and I know for you too. But it's amazing
yeah.
what drumming has done, and I know a lot of you aren't drummers, but there's probably something in your life that has built a circuit of people and experiences around you, and it's centered on something, in this case drumming, which seems so unimportant and it's something that would have a very low ceiling, and yet drumming mm-hmm. has created so many opportunities for so many of you listening, for Tim and myself, and I just cannot believe that I get to play drums for a living and that I get to do something like this that really revolves around drumming, but it's so much bigger than that. If this
yeah.
were just about paradiddles and how to tune your tom heads, it would have died at episode 2. I mean, it's because I ended it because I didn't want to do it anymore. But the fact that it's
right.
really just about the community and learning and growing and asking the hard questions as it pertains not only drumming, but of course our faith, makes it a valuable, valuable thing, experience in my life.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And we've got a lot of things planned. This is by no means the end of it all. We've had a great year, a surprising year. Going into this, our first conversation was in January, mm-hmm. so we're nearing the year anniversary of, I guess, the inception of this
right.
idea. You know, we had no idea that we'd still be doing this in December, let alone as many episodes and putting out as much content as we have been. And we've got a lot of big plans for 2020. And we're excited to
share
that with
you about
all.
Who we're bringing on?
Yeah,
I think so. I mean, if you would have told me back in January, 11 months ago, that we'd be having this guy on as a guest, I would have just been like, I don't think, I mean, he's my friend, but I don't even feel comfortable with that. I mean, but now it's like, dude, you got to come on our show. And he's like, oh yeah, I actually want to, like, please, when can we
yeah.
do this?
Yeah. Yeah. So, among a bunch of plans that we have for 2020, we figured we'd kick it off right. As you guys know, we've been, bringing guests on the show, and we plan on, continuing to do that. But our very first episode will be releasing on the 10th of January. And we are going to feature none other than Luke Holland.
Yeah.
For those of you that don't know Luke, he is a kind of a self-made sensation He's a YouTube drummer, done tons of covers on YouTube and built up a following. We had him on the show and we had a really great conversation. Learned a lot of things, and he's just a cool down to earth guy, and we had a great conversation. So I'm excited for you all to hear it.
Yeah, I can't wait. He won. He has many, many accolades, but dude's pretty famous in the drumming world, mm-hmm. to say the least. So it's really cool to have him on the show, and I think it's important for our listeners to hear what he has to say because, as you just said, Tim, he is sort of a self-made celebrity rock star. He really mm-hmm. did this from the ground up on his own without any help. Yeah. He's had some influences. I want to point out Adam Gray has been a huge asset in getting him to where he is as far as giving him advice. I know he spent time talking to Luke on the phone quite a bit. The stick tricks and everything else. So there's obviously people like Adam in his life, but Luke has worked hard, and mm-hmm. the dude is talented, and he continues to find success because of his work ethic and his skill. And so you're going to want to hear it. It's a great episode. I can't wait to hear it. Have you heard it back yet?
I actually haven't had a chance to listen to it yet. But it is good. I've never taken as many notes from a conversation as I have with Luke's. So I'm excited to share it with you all. And cool dude, young dude. I mean, the sky's the limit for him. He's in Australia right now, touring, with a band over there. It's a great conversation. I'm really excited about what, 2020 has. We have a few other, interviews lined up and, lots of things to talk about, so it's going to be fun.
It's going to be great, dude. Well, we have Christmas parties to attend, and
yes,
I'm sure if you're listening to this, you either are experiencing Christmas or you have experienced Christmas. But either way, I hope it's a lot of fun. I hope that there are conversations you have that stick with you, change you, open your mind, impact you, influence you, inspire you, all these things. Not just this year, next year, but the rest of your life. And we're really grateful we got to spend Christmas with you. So Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Merry Christmas, everybody. Thank you for joining us on your Christmas day or your Christmas week or whenever you're listening to it. Maybe it's 2020 already. Who knows? But thank you for listening. Means a lot. We love you all. Yeah, I'm excited.
Me too. Merry Christmas, Tim. Love you.
Love you too, man. Merry Christmas.
Peace.